all this up here, I had an anxiety attack. Because it reminded me of science class back in elementary school. And I was like, I don't know the planets. I don't know the universe. And then I remembered I was in church, and hallelujah. It was all good. But good morning. Are you guys ready for this heat? It's coming anyway, huh? Yeah. I know, I can always tell. Those of you, I've mentioned my neighbor before, he's got a pool, and they listen to Metallica, and they use every profanity in the world as they're out there partying in the pool. And it's like, he knows, because I've told him, you know, I won't mention his name, but I've told Henry before, I'm calling the police, and I have. And he's like, I'm sorry. You want a beer? It's like, no. Turn your music off. You know, when it's 2:00 in the morning. So anyway, as we think about this world going on today, it just seems to be hopeless. There just seems to be nothing going right in this world. And it just brings us to the realization that our Lord is coming. He is coming soon, okay? And that's an, you know, we should find encouragement in that alone. Can we bring up Romans, please? Romans 1. Even before we came to the Lord, we knew what we were like. Even, you know, you've heard people say, well, what about the pygmies in Africa and the Native Americans that have never had, you know, the word of God spoken to them? What's going to happen to them? Well, even before we became believers, Romans 1 tells us, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And there's no excuse, okay? Wherever people may be, the Amazon, wherever, there's no excuse for them to know that there is a greater being. Even before we became believers. Because all we have to do is think back on the simplest of things. If you think back to the grocery store back in the day before you were a believer, and you went by the fruit department, and you reached over and grabbed them grapes, and you just ate a handful of them because you just wanted to see if they were ripe, but you knew it was wrong. But you ate them anyway. Nobody had to tell you it was wrong. You knew it was wrong. Well, what about in that restaurant? When you get done eating your meal and you order dessert, and the waitress or waiter forgets to charge you for your dessert before you knew the Lord, you were up and out of there because you got a free dessert. And you knew it was wrong even before you came to the Lord. Boy, it got quiet on that one. Ooh, dessert eaters here. Or even, I would imagine this may have happened to just about everybody. As you went into the store, whatever store it was, and you bought something, and you gave them a 10, and they gave you change for a 20, and you, even before you knew the Lord, knew it was wrong, but you took it and hurried out of the store because you made out, because you got an extra $10. Boy, it really got quiet. But this all happened before we knew the Lord. Okay? So there we are without excuse. The world is without excuse. But you know what? We don't need church to tell us that we are sinners. We know we are sinners. So we're not going to talk about sinners today. We're going to talk about the joy of God and what he brings to us. You know, we can have joy and pain at the same time. We can have that rejoicing and sorrow at the same time. I think the most recent example that we can bring out is graduation. It just happened. We may have had someone go from eighth grade to high school, and we were joyful that they were graduating. But yet we were saddened because our babies are growing up. Or they went from high school, they graduated from high school. And we were joyful that they made it. But yet we were sorrowful that they may not be at home much longer. Okay? We want them to grow. We want them to get out the house. But we want them to go the right way. Okay? We don't want them just to run from the home. So it's something that we can experience at the same time. Joy is there for us to make a choice to be joyful about. We can always walk around and be like a negative Nancy all the time. Nancy, wherever you, oh, there you are. I ain't talking about you. But we can always walk around and be that way. And we all know what it's like to talk to someone who's always negative. Someone who's always complaining about something in their life not going right, or their neighbor playing loud music all the time. There's always something that we can be negative about. But we want to have the joy of the Lord in our lives. In Romans, he tells us, in Romans 12, 15, he tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice, but also to weep with those who weep. If joy was just simply an emotion that came our way without the sorrow, with just something that would happen, it would be awesome. But we have to make a choice. We have to make a choice to be glad about something. We can't, there's so much out there in the world that we can be sad about, but we need to be rejoicing because of what the Lord has done for us. What he did for us on the cross. We have to broaden our capacity, our ability to love one another. We have to be able to show that love because sometimes people are hard to love. It can happen, but we have to make the choice to show that we can love someone without expecting anything in return. Just to love on them unconditionally. Their joy truly becomes our joy if we are free from envy, if we are free from jealousy, if we are free from comparison. When a brother or sister gets blessings rained down on them, a flood of blessings, we should be thankful and joyful instead of, why didn't I get it? How come it didn't happen to me? I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I didn't get that. No, we make a choice to be happy and joyful for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Likewise, if they are suffering sorrow, just like the command, weep with those who weep. We need to take their sorrow into heart and weep with them. Paul's suggestion, or it wasn't a suggestion, it was a command. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Not if you feel like it, rejoice with them. If you feel like it, weep with them. Because we can be cold-hearted. We can be like, oh, I don't want to hear it. I've got my own things going on. I'm done. I've had enough. We can be like that. Am I the only one? Okay. But we can be like that. So it's a blessing in reality that Paul gave a command and not just a suggestion. Because we have to choose to weep with those who weep, looking for those who sorrow, looking for those who sorrow, and letting their pain become our pain. Anytime we can come along alongside a brother or sister and help ease their burden, that's showing the love of Christ. And that's what we want to do. Does it go against our natural way of life? Yes. Because none of us like pain. None of us like to be sad. But it goes against everything that we have. But it shows the love of Christ. And then it brings joy. Not only to the person that you come alongside with, but to yourself. But you had to make the choice. Our personal joy, our personal pain cannot be our only concern. We have to have the concern of others in our life. Not just to have sympathy for them, but empathize with them. We've all been through trials before. We've all been through trials that we can share, we can lift up with other brothers or sisters in Christ. Why? Because He is coming. He is coming. There's no question about it. Look at the world. This life is just preparation for the life that we get to have eternally with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those who live for just a brief time here for themselves are going to suffer a joyless eternity in hell. But those of us who live a joyful life with Jesus Christ are going to be eternally living a joyful life. And that's going to be awesome. You know, Clay always talks about his picture on the refrigerator. Well, mine's up here. And his there. But we all, it's just going to be awesome because we're with our God, the one who has infinite love for us. So we need to focus on things that He wants us to focus on. We need to focus on our faith so we can become fulfilled in our faith. We need to focus on generosity so we can learn how to become content. These are things that we need to focus on, that we need to make a choice to do, to be happy, to be joyful. What's the direction of your life? Which direction of your life? Is it crafted by the love of Jesus Christ, or is it crafted by yourself? What direction are you going? Are you willing to serve Jesus in this sea of life that just is full of turmoil and waves and storms? Or are you doing it on your own? When Jesus guides your life, He gives you life. Excuse me. He gives you life. If God is your guide, He is going to take you places you never thought possible. 10 years ago, did I ever think I'd be standing in front of people teaching God's word? No. I was having enough hard time teaching God's word to fifth and sixth graders. But God will take you to places you never thought possible if we allow Him, if we choose to come alongside Him. Again, we have to make that choice. So, what is your direction? Are you busy doing life for Jesus? Or are you busy doing things with Jesus? Because we can get busy, even in church. We can get busy doing this, and then we're all tired, we go home, and we're, oh. Or we can be doing stuff for Jesus, with Him involved, and we have the joy and peace of the world in our hearts. The Holy Spirit's rhythm of life is not without challenges. We talked a little bit about it this morning. It's not without challenges because we know when we want to do something for the Lord, we're going to face a challenge. It may be a little bump in the road or it could be a mountain in the road, but it's going to be a challenge coming our way. Can we bring up Luke? Walking with Jesus on earth, again, is that lifelong apprenticeship for worship in Jesus Christ. Remember, joy is a choice. Let's look at this here. Luke 10, 17 to 20. The elders just got back into town. They were thrilled because of the things that they were able to do. And so they're telling Jesus. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And He said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Even after having the power to trample on serpents and scorpions and all the demons fall within their power, what does He tell you? Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. Your names are written in heaven. So everything that is going on here, oh well, God's got it. We don't have to worry about that. So again, what area in your life, what direction are you going? Are you in prayer or are you trying to fix it? This morning we talked about it again. sometimes I have a tendency to try to fix things myself. And then I have to step back and let God fix it because I broke it. We need to have a growing relationship with Christ that feeds our soul. We need to want to be able to draw nearer to Him. Remember, He is the truth. He is the life. And we should want to have that in our lives because it brings us joy. When we pick up His Word and we get into His Word and there is something that touches us, it is just awesome. It raises the hairs on the back of your neck. You come to tears. You just, because the Lord has spoken to you. And it brings joy to you. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to pick up on verse 1. And you know, sometimes when I was talking about reading Scripture and getting in God's Word, and it just touches you, and it makes you just, I mean, brings you to tears, or makes you want to dance, or trust me, I ain't dancing. But it brings you a peace and a joy that it's without understanding. And when I was looking at this here, I gave a study on it last month, about three or four weeks ago. And just some of the things that were brought to attention, it's just amazing. Colossians 3, we're going to pick up in verse 1. Are we there? All right, let's go ahead and read. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil, desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 6, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Now, how does that bring joy to us? When you look at this and you read all the things that they're supposed to do, or we are supposed to do, is like, there's no way. I can't do this. Even on our best days, we can't even do a couple of these things. How's that bring joy to you? Because we have to read in its entirety. When we read in its entirety, we see that this talks about who we are in Christ and who we are with Christ. Let's look real quick at Colossians. Look at verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Is He your Savior? Then you are raised with Christ. It's not maybe. There's no could be. It's we're going to be raised with Christ. Seek those things which are above. Set your mind on things above. Verse 3, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. There's no doubt. Our life is hidden with Christ. That should lift us up. Go to verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. What? We get to appear with Jesus Christ in glory when we read everything in here, not just the negative things that we're not supposed to do. Verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have. The old man is gone. I'll say the woman is gone. Okay, verse 10, and put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. You have the knowledge. It's available to you. Verse 12, this is awesome. Therefore, as the elect of God, as the elect of God, we are his chosen people, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, so forth, so forth. So when we read this in its entirety, we don't have to worry about the things of trying to earn God's favor by doing the list of the things above. We've already got his favor. That should bring us joy. We are holy and beloved. That should bring us joy. We are his elect. That should bring us joy. And we shouldn't worry about these things and that's going on in this world. How awesome that is. If this read, you might be, you could be, it's possible, then we'd have something to worry about. Because we all struggle. But it says you are. It has been done. You will have. And that is awesome. We shouldn't have to worry about anything in this world. We should just be filled with joy because we are holy and beloved by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, it's not always easy. It is not always easy. But James tells us, my brethren, count it all. What? We don't even have to look at it. Count it all what? Joy. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Woof! That's a rough one. Because I don't like trials. I do not like trials. But he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Because pure joy, again, is a choice. Pure joy is that person who is trusting Christ in their life. Thank you, little one. Jesus-generated joy is discovered and developed through the trials that we go through. When we go through trials, it's amazing what happens when the trial is over. How much we have grown, how much stronger we are when we get through the trial. We've all been there where we're like, there is no way, I've had enough, I am done. And Jesus said, no, I'm going to use you another day, another month, another year, whatever. And we get through that trial. And at the end of the trial, we're like, thank you, Lord. I made it. Yeah, you made it. Because Jesus was leading the way. Hallelujah. We made it, Lord. The sky is falling. It didn't crack, did it? Oh, okay. I'll blame it on Andrew. So anyway, I lost my train. Yeah, we're going through this trial by fire so our faith can grow, so it can become more sincere. If you haven't been in a trial, you could be a new believer, and that trial you're going through might only be something small compared to someone who's been walking with the Lord 25 years and has been through that trial 10 times. But if you're a new believer and your faith has to grow, you need to go through that trial. And then it's become stronger and stronger. And a week, a month, 5 years down the line, the Lord's going to give you another trial to go through. And it's going to be harder. It's going to be more difficult so your faith can grow. But we got to remember, we got to make the choice to stay in joy. Man, things coming all over the place here. So, is your pure joy real? Is it real? Is it trusting in the Lord? Pure joy will persevere, and it'll get us through things. How can you lead and serve your family and friends during the time of storms if you're not trusting God? If you're not leaning on the Lord to direct you, how are you going to stand in the storm and the trials? Again, you know, Clay used the example, I used the example. Look at Peter. He steps out of the boat, he walks on water because his eyes are focused on the Lord. And then as soon as he starts worrying about the world around him and starts listening to the things there and seeing the things, takes his eyes off the Lord, boom, down he goes. And the Lord, Lord lets him sink until Peter does what? He cries out to him. Then the Lord reaches down and grabs a hold of him. We have to cry out. We have to make a choice for joy instead of watching the storms going on around us. We have to stand fast knowing that God is in control. He is the one who's going to get us through things. Pure joy comes as a result of our faith changing and growing. God is our changer. God is the one who's going to change us and allow this life to produce whatever trials he can and then watch the best of us grow. Not everybody's got a measure of faith. And God is going to give you a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. Okay? It doesn't matter. We are all saved. We're all going to heaven. Hallelujah. But our faith is going to get stronger by the trials we go through. Are we going to allow them trials to bring us down? Or are we going to remain joyful? Are we going to remain being happy? Look at Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas were kicked out of the city. They're like, you know what? We don't want to hear this. Get out. The rich people or the rich ladies joined with the legalist and said, get out of town. We don't want to hear anything about this Jesus. Did they get upset about it? No. What did they do? In Acts 13, they say, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Even after the persecutions of people throwing them out of town, telling them to get out, being rejected, God's word being rejected. Is it being rejected in this world today? Are people telling us to get lost? They are telling us all the time. But we need to be filled with joy and filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with joy and filled with the Holy Spirit so we can stand and be bold like a lion to present God's word, the good news. The good news that brings joy to each one of us. Not news of what's happening somewhere in the world, but the news of Jesus Christ. How long did it take for us to come to that? Just keep bringing it. People thought you were never going to get saved. People thought I never was going to get saved. But they kept bringing it. And look, Jesus Christ is awesome. He is a good God. So don't see your present situation as a setback. See it as an opportunity for you to go and spread God's word, an opportunity for your faith to grow. An opportunity to do something for Jesus. And Jesus understands his pure joy. Can we bring up Hebrews, please? Hebrews 12. Think about Jesus. He focused on the will of his Father. His heart was full of joy because he knew he was about his Father's business. Did it break at times? Was he hurting? Yes. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. None of us are going to have to worry about enduring the cross. We're going to have our trials, but who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He was obedient to God, doing what he was called to do. And he found joy in that, even though he already knew what he was going to be going through. The suffering and the pain that he was going to go through, he found joy in it. The things that we go through here, we need to find joy and comfort in them because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. No person, no circumstance, the enemy, our own flesh cannot keep us from having that pure joy of knowing Jesus Christ. So you can smile when things are going bad and know your smile is because you have faith in Jesus, because you trust him. He's building your faith for the long run. Romans 15:13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we have to let the Holy Spirit work in each one of us. We make the choice to talk to him, to allow him to direct us, and then allow our hearts to be filled with joy because we are obedient to him. Again, pure joy doesn't depend on the circumstances. Pure joy thrives when we go through those trials and tribulations. So unleash that pure joy. Unleash it in you. Shout it out. God's given you promises of hope. God's given you promises of salvation. God's given you promises of blessings. Shout it out. Be joyful. And be thankful to him. So, how do we find this joy all the time? By shouting it out. By shouting for the, in Psalms 100, the first three verses, Psalm 100 says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Man, that is awesome. And that should bring us joy by worshiping and giving thanks to our Lord and serving him in the ways that he wants us to serve, because he is the giver of happiness. We're the ones who want to take it away. We're the ones who start questioning and wondering and having anxiety. And the Lord is like, hey, Gilbert, come on. I just did this for you. Open your heart and your eyes and receive continuously the joy of Jesus Christ. A bigger home isn't going to make it better because you're going to start complaining about cleaning it. A new spouse isn't going to make it better because he or she is going to end up doing something wrong in your life anyway. Okay? Jesus Christ is our joy giver. Jesus Christ is the one who fulfills our happiness. Every day, amen, brother. Every day, all day, we should be trusting him. Yeah, you can have a brief bit of happiness or a brief bit of joy when you get that new car, new vehicle, house, whatever. But it's going to pass. It's going to leave you wanting more. And what we should want more of is the joy that Jesus brings us. That's what we should want more. When we gaze on God with our worship, you know that sometimes a worship song just brings tears to your eyes. You know that there's a tug on your heart that Jesus Christ is working in your life, and you just surrender to him, and people are wondering, what is wrong with that person? But you are filled with the joy of Jesus. And that's what we should want all the time, because he is good. He is such a good God to us. So our true happiness, our true joy comes from God alone. Our emotions, yeah, we experience a little bit of happiness, but it's passing. With our love of the Lord, it's eternal. Our spirits rest happy and content when it totally submits to the Lord. Our mind's happy to know that our Heavenly Father cares for us and comforts us in our sorrow. Happiness found from above brings joy here on earth. It's plain and simple. When we trust the Lord, it's all so good. So is your happiness based on the Lord? Or is it based on yourself? Is it based on the Lord's lasting, eternal love for you? Never to die. Never to go away. We all should be happy to know that we are His people. We belong to Him. Recognition who is Lord, obedience to the Lord, submission to the Lord, all grows our faith. Let's turn to John, or I'm sorry, can you bring up John 15, please? God can be trusted to do what's best for His individual children, for each one of us. The shepherd knows we sometimes stray. John 15, 9-11 says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, being obedient, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, keeping his commandments, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." Hallelujah. Is he your Lord, Master? Is Jesus Christ? That's it. Plain and simple. You want joy? Trust our Lord. So that your joy may be full. He knows that there's going to be strays. But you know what? His word tells us that if he had 100 sheep and one got lost, he's going after that one. So if there's any strays out there, Jesus is coming after you. And it don't matter how far you run, he's going to get you. And praise the Lord for that. So, is anybody getting hungry? All right, they're getting the burritos ready. So hopefully mostly that we see happiness as our outcome with the intimacy of Jesus Christ. And we see it because we pursue Him and not our own life. Again, happiness is a poor owner because it doesn't have the ability to subdue pride. It doesn't have the ability to manage success. Happiness doesn't have the ability to combat sin. In contrast, our Heavenly Father's love is the one that carries us through. His love is the one that allows us to stop sinning. So receive the gift of joy and happiness from God. Receive it. We all like getting gifts. I don't think there's anybody in here who doesn't like getting gifts. So be glad. Receive the gift of love from Jesus and enjoy it. In Jeremiah 31, 13 says, "Then maidens will dance and be glad. Young men and old as well," not me, "young men and old as well, I will turn their mourning into gladness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sorrow." Calling on the name of Jesus. So this week, think of one person in your life. Think of one person in your life who doesn't know the Lord, who's going through joy or sorrow, and find a way to make a choice to approach them and show them the love of Christ so that they can have joy in their heart. I challenge you, one person this week, to go out there and show the love of Christ to them. Show them the love that Jesus has for them by dying on the cross for them. And ask God to guide you, the Holy Spirit to lead you to see those opportunities. Because sometimes when we are put forth a challenge, we like to go like this: "I don't see nothing, God." And there's opportunities all around you. But we had the blinders on because we don't want to have... Like Clay was talking about the motorcycle guy the other day. More power to him. I would have waited till the guy got done. But, finally, worship team, you want to come on up? Finally, give thanks to our Lord. Give thanks to our Lord. And thank Him that He's made us acceptable in His life. He's the one who did it all. We are holy and loved because of what He did. That should bring us joy. Thank the Holy Spirit that He's given us the power to follow His commands, to be obedient so that our joy may be full. We want to count it pure joy to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ, especially during the trials and those tribulations. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank You. We want to thank You, Lord, for the happiness that You have given us through Your love and grace. Because we all love grace. And Father, give us a deeper capacity to share Your love with those who are rejoicing and with those who are weeping. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to lift up Your name again. Father, we just thank You for the joy that You bring into each one of our lives, Father, that we can be touched by it, Lord. And when we are in the midst of that trial and that storm, Lord, that we think back on Your word and the trials that You already brought us through so the joy can be filled in our hearts again, Lord. Father, if there's anyone here who doesn't know You, Father, let them come forth, Father. As we have an opportunity of prayer, Father, that they not let pride keep them in the chair, Lord. They not let someone else keep them in the chair. Don't let the enemy whisper in their ear, what are You doing, Father? But they come forward to You, Lord, for that saving grace that You provide, Lord. Again, we just want to thank You and praise You for Your word, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.